Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio Water System is the dominant service to about 1.6 million residents of Bexar County, and it is where your water comes from. And we're joined by Robert Puente, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Water System, to give us an update on many of the challenges and developments happening at SAWS. And Robert Puente, welcome back to The Source.
Well, hello to you. Hello to all your viewers. Listening to your prior guest, it almost made me want to get back into politics.
I was thinking about that, too. If you had that, like, wow, you know, back in the day when you were a state rep and you would win those contests. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, if you have a question for Robert Puente about San Antonio Water Systems. Fitch came out just this week with your bond, AA, looking good, outlook stable. Even with some of the turbulent things that are happening with the coronavirus, they're saying that still your revenue looks solid, even though we're in a pandemic and that you have they don't anticipate anything that could be detrimental to the system's strong financial profile. So that should be welcome news.
That is great news. And that is a continuation, I believe, of the very good work our staff has done and making sure the financial part of SAWS is very well established, a very well and deep foundation. You know, this pandemic has affected us in the sense that revenue is down from different sources. For example, we are not cutting off anybody's service because they haven't been able to pay their bill, and we're not collecting late fees. And there's other comes and goes of a situation where sometimes residential usage is up higher, but commercial use is down. So it's a little give and take, something that we have to adjust to, but I'm very happy that our staff is able to adjust.
First off, let's talk about your staff and your employees and how you're keeping them safe in the pandemic. What have y'all done?
Well, even before there was an official stay at home from the city or the county, I issued a stay at home order. And within probably 4 days, 4 or 5 days, we were able to fully start functioning from home and making sure everybody got their wastewater and water service. So we have a big contingent of individuals that are working from home. If you call SAWS right now, one of our employees may be answering the phone in their bathrobe. But believe me, they are able to get all the information that they otherwise would through our computer system. So they're able to handle all of the issues from home. I cannot say that we're running optimally because there are needs sometimes of interaction with individuals, especially group meetings where assignments are giving out, where we need interaction from each other. But just like the city of San Antonio, where we had thought we were getting very well, we had very few employees getting this COVID-19. And just like the city of San Antonio saw a spike, the whole state saw a spike, we saw a spike. And so we're dealing as best we can with the pandemic, just like all of San Antonio is.
And you still have people who you can't dig new trenches and do all those things that you do with the water system from home. You have people who have to show up and do that work.
Yes, a big part of our staff is out there in this 100-plus degree heat. So if you see them out there, please at least throw a wave their way. And so but they still have to practice safety. If they're down in a ditch, they still have to wear a mask. Where we used to have four members in a crew cab in a vehicle, we now limit it to two, maybe just one oftentimes. If anybody has contact with someone else, we send the whole group home, quarantine them. And so it's really taxing our employees right now. It's really difficult for a lot of the ones that are out in the field because they're the ones that really see the brunt of what we're doing.
your ratepayers, your customers, many people are finding they've lost jobs. They're having trouble paying their bills. You mentioned earlier that you're not cutting off water for individuals, but you are running a business. How does that, and at the same time, you're a public utility for something of life-giving water. So how are you going to make this all work?
Well, you know, we are running a business, but we don't want to run it as a business. We do understand that there's a need for this precious resource. As I mentioned, we are not cutting anybody off because they haven't been able to pay their bill. We have since put online an ability to make payment arrangements on your own. So if you get on our website and you're behind and you feel you have a way to catch up, so it's self-service in that sense, we are nowhere near making a decision as we're going to, when are we going to start cutting off. And then the added issue of now that we're in a very hot, dry period, and now there's water restrictions, so we as a provider of a product are restricted in our ability to sell that product.
If you're a customer and you've fallen behind on your bills, does that eventually you have to catch up? How does that work? Or will there be federal dollars or some other source that could actually make square all that?
We are looking into that, but we're going through the city of San Antonio, as you all, your listeners will know, the city of San Antonio received some federal money. We're talking to them about whether or not some of that can be used for utility assistance. And so the city is handling that. You know, they have big issues with rental people that are behind in their rental issues. But we understand that some of these people that are accumulating a large debt, it's going to be very difficult for them to pay it off in 2 or 3 or 4 months. So we're looking at a very much, much longer period of time where we will be able to stretch those payments out to where they can catch up. But they will always have water.
If you are if you're not in a situation and you're another SAWS customer, and some people may wonder, am I going to have to pay more in order to pay for someone who can't pay for their water? And then there are people who want to pay, will be happy to contribute to a fund to do that as well. So can you talk about that?
Yes. For every dollar that comes in that we need and we don't get, yes, we still have to make it up somewhere. But we have a great program called Project AWA, and it accepts donations, and you can pay it through your bill. You can mark off on your bill $1, $2, $10, whatever it is. Our employees contribute a whole lot to this fund. And this Project AWA is meant for those people that are having problems paying their bill. Oftentimes a once-in-a-lifetime situation, such as this pandemic, such as a divorce, such as medical bills out of the ordinary. And so it's meant to help them. And if there's one item that is to be budget item that's to be busted, this is the one. We are going to help out as many people as we can. This program continues to grow. We are accepting more and more families into our affordability programs. And so there's a lot of help out there. And we don't know who you are unless you call us and ask to help. We've done a lot of outreach, but as everyone knows right now, outreach is the most difficult thing to do. We cannot go to fairs and neighborhood associations because they're not being held. So call us if you think you qualify, and we will help you.
Now, there are people who are struggling to pay their bills, but they are paying their bills, but they may not feel have the capacity to try to pay more because someone else couldn't pay their bill. I mean, so can you tell people, are rates going to go up because some people haven't been able to pay their water bills?
No, this particular pandemic will not result in a rate increase. As I mentioned at the very beginning, and as you brought up, our financial situation is very stable. We were able, we were planning to pay for some of these large projects in the future, half debt, half cash. And so we do have a healthy savings account that we were going to use for these big projects. And so we'll be able to draw on that. In the big scheme of things, this expense is nowhere near some of the expenses that we incur on some of these huge multi-million dollar projects that we have to put into the ground.
Now, before the coronavirus, in the before times, as we call it, there was, you know, the city council was telling SAWS, you guys need to help contribute more to the general fund. Is that still the plan?
Well, that decision was already made. Our contributions went from 2.75% up to 4%. But since that increase, the city has not knocked on our door to go up to the maximum of 5%.
So, and will that still be, because before you were saying, yeah, we can do it. It'll be tough, but we can do it. And this is, you know, but is it, it's going to be tougher now.
Yes, it'll be tougher. And so some of the large expensive projects that we had scheduled to be online, we're able to stretch them out. A project may become a phase one and phase two type of project. The project itself may be pushed out into latter years. So this is all part of our planning process, part of our capital program, to make sure that we are able to meet the needs of this community as far as water and wastewater is concerned, but still try to do it without a financial impact at a period of time where it's really difficult for a lot of individuals.
Also, very quickly, part of the Fitch Corona consideration says that SAWS maybe have to write off some bad debt as a result of the pandemic. What is that?
That would be the actual bills from customers that we find that they will just not be able to make up. You know, we're talking about a lot of individuals that are below the poverty line, but they were still working. They were working, husband and wife, maybe both of them got laid off or just one laid off. And they're behind in their CPS bill, they're behind on their water bill, might be behind in their rent, maybe behind in the other bills. And you just cannot expect these people to all of a sudden, pandemic is over and they catch up. So some of these bills may be having to be written off.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Robert Puente, President and CEO of the San Antonio Water System, on the other side of this break. And if you got a question or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also email a question to the source at tpr.org. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. Robert Puente joins us, President and CEO of the San Antonio Water System. We have an email from Andrea. I would like to know if our water is being treated for COVID. I've not heard much about the virus surviving or not in water. Is there a filtration process that could keep it from being spread?
No, this virus does not spread through water, so there's no need to treat it for that purpose.
It's a respiratory virus. It's spread through the air, so not through food and not through water. So tell us what's happening with Vista Ridge. That is now, the water is now flowing. This $2.4 billion project has now been actualized. And where are we?
Well, we're at the part where we're drinking the water, where we're using the water in our daily lives. As you mentioned, it is online. It's been over a 10-year process. From its very inception, water projects, you cannot just think them up and they're online in 1 or 2 years. So it's been a very long process. It'll supply about 20% of the water that this community, of our portfolio. It is expensive water. Admittedly, it's expensive water, but come year 5, year 7, 8, 9, it will not be, because the price of this water is static, stays the same for the next 30 years. And in year 31, the price of the water actually drops. And so it's a 60-year project with a stable price for 30 years and a lower price for the next 30 years.
So initially in May, when the water started flowing, it was being used pretty much on the north side, like Stone Oak, Chavano Park area. And now it's being incorporated into the entire water system?
Well, yes and no. Initially, it was used in the northern sector because we were not taking our full allotment. And what we had to do, we had to run the water through our integration system, through our system, all the way down to the Bitters pump station, to the Malzberger pump station, to the further into San Antonio, because we had to test all of that new infrastructure and refurbished infrastructure. We had to flush the new infrastructure and essentially clean it. It had never been used to deliver water before. And so all of that water up until most recently was being used for those purposes. On a day like today and these last few days, the demand for water will probably dictate that this water doesn't go too far south. But on a cold winter day, this water will go all the way down into central San Antonio.
Let's go to the phone lines. Sharon has called in. Sharon, you're on The Source with Robert Puente, President and CEO of the San Antonio Water System.
Thank you. My question is, I heard the information about Project Agua, and I think that's really wonderful. I'm curious to know, with so many veterans in San Antonio, if there's anything special that you are offering for veterans.
Sharon, thank you for that call. And Robert Puente.
Well, not specifically because you're a veteran, but as any individual, if you find yourself in any kind of financial circumstance, we will help you financially. Now, there's other things regarding veterans that we have programs that do assist them, such as if you got called off to active duty, there's no cutoffs. We assist them in essentially sort of turning off their water if they're going to be gone for a few months or years on a deployment. So there's a lot of specific programs for veterans, but not necessarily just financial parts of that.
What are we doing with water restrictions right now?
Well, we our aquifer level fell below 660 on a seven-day average. So the restrictions took place Friday of last week. And right now we're in stage one restrictions, which essentially is once-a-week watering from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. and then again 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
With the addition of the Vista Ridge Water Pipeline, will water restrictions, the way that we have used to seeing them, will that change?
Well, you know, we have plenty of water. It's the restrictions that require us to allot it, essentially. And so these restrictions currently are a city ordinance. So this is something that our elected officials, our city council would have the first say on, is whether or not they want to make them more restrictive or less restrictive.
And the water restrictions, this is all based upon the aquifer level. And now 20% of the water used by SAW is coming from Burleson County, being piped down to us and through the Vista Ridge Pipeline. And so it's kind of like the water restrictions would have no impact on that water.
That's what normally you would think, but the restrictions are from the 1990s, and so they don't take into consideration that since then, for example, Vista Ridge has gone online. Our desalination plant, our project, has gone online. We have Trinity Aquifer Water, Carrizo Aquifer Water, the recycled water system. All of these help our demand, help our ability to provide water to our community. But still, the ordinance is an ordinance, and we have to abide by it.
And now there is this West Side Sewer Project, and that is another mega engineering project that y'all are taking on. Tell me about that.
Yes, if you can imagine a sewer pipe that you can drive a full-size Toyota Tundra through with plenty of room to spare, 140 feet in a tunnel under you. And so this is a project, about a $200 million project, including the engineering cost. And this is something that we have to go through at SAWS, is that we make these massive expenditures, and we want our citizens not to ever think about it again. There'll be no school bus tours. There'll be no ribbon cutting. There's no reason to think about a sewer project once it's in the ground. And so this massive pipeline, we had to go around Lackland Air Force Base, and that was a big issue for us because the current line goes through the base. But because of security concerns about inability to get onto the base when there was maintenance due, sometimes our crews would be out on the gate for hours upon hours and then told to go home for security reasons, and rightly so. We didn't know what was going on, and the Air Force and our military has every right to restrict mm-hmm. access to a military base. So we essentially had to go around. And this project, as I mentioned, is a $200 million project that will serve almost all of the west side of San Antonio, all the way from Fair Oaks, all the way south past Lackland Air Force Base.
Let's go to the callers, and Carol is on the phones. And Carol, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question. First, thank you for the ASR program, which is visionary. But also wonder if you'd like to talk about the need to protect the contributing zone of the Edwards Aquifer in order to protect the future water quality and quantity.
All right, Carol, thank you for the call. And Robert Puente.
Well, as a citizen of San Antonio, we want to protect that contributing zone. But I know my place. This is an issue of regulatory guidance that we need from the city council and from our state legislator. They're the ones that pass the ordinances and the laws on the proper way to respect this resource.
So this is, we're talking about the aquifer recharge zone, because I'm kind of lost.
Well, she mentioned the contributing zone. And so, you know, this is, most of that is beyond our surface area, and we don't have ordinance making power. So this is really a question for our state legislature and our city council. But as a citizen, yes, we need to protect that area.
So the concern is, with the addition of the water coming from the Vista Ridge pipeline, there will be less of an urgency or an understanding that we still need to protect the aquifer and the recharge zone.
Yes, even though this is a large water source, the vast majority of the water that we do use comes from the Edwards, so we have to protect that source.
Another caller, Yvonne. Yvonne, welcome to The Source. Yvonne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Puente. I just want to say thank you for the Rain to Drain educational program. It's a wonderful program to inform consumers. And if there's at all possible, after all this COVID passes, God willing, that maybe that program could be expanded and offer more frequency of tours. And then I also want to say that I appreciate that your user-friendly policies with taking away the late fees. And lastly, CPS, if anyone at CPS is listening, take a page out of SAW's book. SAWs are very consumer-friendly, and CPS are the opposite. That's my comment, Mr. Davies.
Okay, Yvonne, thank you for that. What is the, real quick, we have less than 2 minutes in the show. What is Rain to Drain?
Well, essentially, Rain to Drain is following a raindrop that hits the recharge area and follows it through our system all the way to it being used back into our system through the sinks and commodes and into our wastewater treatment plant. So you essentially see what we do. And these are guided tours that we, there's always a wait list, months and months of wait list, and they're phenomenal. Our staff that does them, I think you should take one. And yes, we need to get them back on. They are the best ambassador that we have. We can put some of our biggest critics on the bus. And at the end of the day, they understand what we do, mm-hmm. how we do it, and are marveled and amazed at how water is used.
So real quickly, are there any more rate increases going to be kicking in?
No. For the next, for this year and next year, we don't have anything on the horizon.
Any requests coming up for more rate increases?
No.
All right.
We have a yearly budget, and so this year and next year, there's nothing on the budget for a rate increase.
Robert Puente is the president and CEO of the San Antonio Water System, SAWS. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and we do have a virtual Rain to Drain tour if y'all want to get on that one.
All right. Thank you so much. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.